hosts Joni and Mike plan to delve into the unknown paranormal world in hopes of uncovering the unknown and the unheard. Welcome to EVP Spirit Talk on the All Souls Paranormal Radio Network.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Egypt Valley Paranormal Spirit Talk Radio on this beautiful Thursday night in the Ohio Valley, though I guess it's not that beautiful everywhere else. I'm Joni, and tonight we have a special guest host. A special guest host, would you like to say hello?
Good evening, ASPRN. This is the COD, the Woodhood Refugee, your love monkey, filling in with Joni.
Yes, after his long weekend on the radio, 47 hours he did straight through, and did a pretty damn good job of it, I have to say.
And it was exhausting in more ways than one, dear.
Are you back yet, 100%, or are you still at 97?
I made it to 97.8 last night.
Yeah, that was something else, but what a great weekend. Had some wonderful music and really great guests, and chat room was so much fun. It was really great. Not that I expect you to do that all the time or anything, but it was really awesome.
If I tried to do that all the time.
How about August? I don't know how you did it. I can't stay up. I don't know. I don't know anymore. I don't know how often I could.
I was very surprised that even during those times that you wouldn't think people would be there, there were people there.
Yeah, and it was full most of the time, but it was just a good time.
Oh, yeah.
Just a really, really good time. And, you know, it was like a frat party over the internet or something. I don't know.
At 6 o'clock in the morning, I never expected a single person to be awake, but I'll be daggone if there weren't at least 8 to 10 people there the whole time.
Well, I think when somebody does something like you did, people do want to support you and be there as much as they can.
I think they just wanted to hear when my head hit the keyboard.
Yeah, some people had some money on that. I don't know. I don't know who lost what on that, but I knew there were a couple bets going around.
Oh, I didn't shit. Put my 20 in on that pool.
Anyway, let's see. I was going to... Do you know, if any of you are familiar with Daily LM, it's a website where you can get, like, daily contemplations or meditations and personal daily horoscopes and stuff, and they have some really, really good things on there. And they have courses, and they have a community and a marketplace and such. And I was reading a really interesting OM today on owls. And I thought I would just hurry up and quickly read that to you because it gets into like our spirit guides and totems, I suppose, and things like that. And I know a lot of people do have some Native American heritage in them, and I just think it's really interesting. So do you think I could read that, Chris? You think it's okay?
Oh, yes, please do. Because
sound okay to you?
When you said owls, you piqued my interest.
I love owls. I know. Well, okay. All right. It's called Penetrating the Darkness, the Wisdom of the Owl. For as long as humankind has recognized animals as teachers, wise men and women have recognized traits worthy of respect in both wild and domestic creatures. The cultural and spiritual significance of certain animals transcends geographical boundaries, unifying disparate peoples. Not so the majestic and mysterious owl, which has over many millennia served as the focal point of numerous contradictory beliefs. Though owls have been regarded with awe and fascination, they have also inadvertently served as agents of fear. Since owls are nocturnal, human-owl encounters tended to occur at night, and likely when the bird was swooping silently down to earth to grapple with a prey. That happened to be one night on my car. Well, I thought I was driving my car, actually. Anyway, yet even as some shied away from the owl, calling it an agent of darkness, others recognized the depths of awareness in a beautiful owl's eyes. In classical Greek tradition, an owl could often be found perched on the shoulder of Athena, goddess of wisdom, while owls could ward off bad luck in Roman lore. It is Native American mythos, however, that the owl attains its own unique identity. Owls are patient messengers, bringers of information, and the holders of wisdom, and they are capable of seeing the unseen. With their keen eyesight, they can glance into the soul to discern meaning and motive, and they are totems of truth. Unlike our distant forebears, we may never encounter an owl in the wild, but we can nonetheless internalize the wisdom of the owl by attuning ourselves to its most venerable qualities. Fully integrating the medicine of the owl into spiritual existence is a matter of considering how we might open ourselves more fully to the wisdom that could be found in the larger universe. Should you find your efforts blocked as you commune with the owl, remember that it was not always revered as an icon of wisdom. This denizen of the nighttime has overcome many prejudices and its long association with humankind. To reveal those hidden elements of the self that impact your life for better or worse, you must often make your way through the darkest parts of your soul as if you yourself were the nocturnal hunter. There is indeed darkness on both inside the self and outside the self, but like the owl, you can transcend it by drawing nourishment from the insights you receive when you penetrate it. And that was the meditation for today.
Whew. I'm sorry, that just seems very coincidental to me.
How come?
Two nights ago, I had probably the scariest nightmare I've ever had. Woke up hyperventilating and screaming, F you, this is my house, and then broke down crying and 10 minutes afterwards. And during that nightmare, there was an owl in that nightmare.
In the nightmare?
Yes.
Huh. Wow. Well, what do you think of that? What do you make of that, then?
I have no idea. It just seems very coincidental that I have a nightmare that scared me that badly that had an owl in it very prominently outside my window.
Well, that is kind of weird, yeah, because I don't usually... That's the first time I've ever read a meditation from them on air. So that is kind of strange. Well, it says, though, you know, explore your darkest corners and use the wisdom, I guess. I don't know. That is weird. Sorry to weird you out there, Chris.
That's okay. I enjoy coincidences like that.
Yeah,
it's just a little
shocking. You know, I just don't believe in coincidences, but you know that.
True.
I don't believe in them. I just think everything happens for a reason, so. I don't know. Anyway, there is one thing I did want to mention. That's kind of sad. And some of you know Christy Hinkle, I'm sure. And Christy's been around for a while. I've known her. She's young, way younger than me, but I've known her for a while. She worked Celestial Paranormal out of Ohio, and she had a show on Blog Talk, I think, at one time, and still occasionally does Haunting Existence Radio. But anyway, her fiancé, Jesse, his sister, her name is Tracy, had a scuba accident last Saturday, and I think she's in her 30s, or maybe a little older than that. But anyway, she is on life support in Toledo, and in critical condition. So just keep that in mind, and if you have a chance, light a candle or say a little prayer, or send Christy and Jesse some good wishes, because it's really sad. It really is. Okay.
Sorry, it's just I'm looking for my candles now so that I can say a blessing tonight.
Yeah, it is. We've been sending energy and stuff and well wishes and hugs and things. It's just sad. These unexpected things are just so sad.
Well, they come at you at usually the worst possible time. At least it's what it seems like. And Christy definitely has my hopes and dreams going out towards her.
Yes, well, they'll be appreciated, but I figure.
How you doing now?
Can you believe there's somebody knocking on my door right now? Okay, anyway, what I'm going to do, tonight we've got Maury Seibel from Shenandoah Valley Paranormal and Staunton Ghost Tours of Virginia. He is our guest tonight and a friend I've known for a while. Should be a very interesting interview. He's got a lot to tell us about. So, Mr. Mike, if you want to take us to some commercials till I figure out who is standing at my door, then maybe we could get back to the show.
All right, sounds good.
Okay.
We will be right back, guys.
We will be right back.
to Times Magazine, voted the best paranormal magazine in the world by the International Paranormal Acknowledgement Awards, now comes to you live every Wednesday night from 8 p.m. to 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, right here on All Souls Paranormal Radio Network. Join Christopher Moon, Dina Everling, and Paulette Huff as each week they welcome guests from all avenues of the paranormal and metaphysical realm, bringing you the best of the best, doing their part to help you think farther than you could ever imagine. Haunted Times Magazine Radio, Wednesday nights from 8 p.m. to 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on All Souls Paranormal Radio Network.
Haunted Times Magazine is honored to have been chosen by the IPAA as the number one paranormal magazine in the world, offering its readers a look into the supernatural. Publishing consistently since 2005, Haunted Times Magazine has brought its readers the best information on hauntings, ghosts, UFOs, cryptozoology, the newest technology, and much, much more. Start your subscription today by visiting the Haunted Times Magazine website at www.hauntedtimes.com. Just click on the Subscribe Now banner, fill out the simple information needed, and you'll begin your subscription to Haunted Times with our most recent issue, featuring an in-depth interview with Zach, Nick, and Aaron of Television's Ghost Adventures. Mention this advertisement in the comment section of your order form and receive a much sought-after rare back issue of Haunted Times Magazine free with your paid subscription. Visit www.haunted.com today.
Paratrinity Radio airs live every Saturday on the All Souls Paranormal Radio Network. Join hosts Mike and Ellie Saturday, 11 p.m. Eastern Standard Time at ASPRN.com. Sponsored by HostYourGhost.com. Paratrinity Radio, where nothing is...
Kicking off the Thursday night lineup is Monster Quest's very own Jody Cook. Tune in at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on Thursday night for Ohio Crypto Radio. Your host, Jody Cook, plans to delve into the many mysteries of cryptozoology, talking about Bigfoot, Mothman, and beyond. Come over to www.asprn.com every Thursday night at 8 p.m. for Jody Cook's Ohio Crypto Radio. Tune in to Miami Town Ghost Talk every Tuesday at 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time at www.asprn.com, the All Souls Paranormal Radio Network. Hosts Mike and Jeff, authors of Haunted Cincinnati and Southwest Ohio, plan to delve into the subject of ghosts, UFOs, and cryptoids, talking to investigators, authors, and so much more. Tune in every Tuesday night at 10 p.m. for Miami Town Ghost Talk.
Join the crew from NKYPS for Paranormal Outreach Radio every Wednesday night, kicking off the Paranormal Powerhouse lineup. Mike, Matt, and Crystal turning up the heat with a variety of guests from the paranormal community. There'll be fun, laughter, and a bit of information dealing with the paranormal issues. Join us every Wednesday night on the All Souls Paranormal Radio Network.
Do you know what I like to do on Sunday nights? I like to connect to ASPRN Radio and listen to Ron Reeder, the man who talks to angels. He's on every Sunday night at 10 p.m. Eastern, 9 Central. Don't forget, Ron Reeder, the man who talks to angels.
With a big smile on my face, and I never feel out of place. And you're still probably working at a 9-to-5 pace. I wonder how bad that tastes when you see my face. Hope it gives you hell, hope it gives you hell. When you walk my way, hope it gives you hell, hope it gives you hell. Now where's your picket fence, love? And where's that shiny car? And did it ever get you far? You never seem so dead slow.
Hi, everybody. Welcome back. Unfortunately, we don't seem to be able to get a hold of Marty. I don't know if they have weather problems down around Shenandoah Valley, because I just don't know. I don't know what the weather's like down there. So I think maybe we can talk maybe more about dream interpretation, since Chris has found a really cool website. And if you guys want to call in and share some of your dreams or experiences, maybe we'll just try to figure out what they mean.
Because
that
sounds like a plan to me, Joni. Because you brought up the interpretation of the owl in a dream, and I found this website called dreammoods.com, which has an online dream symbol interpretation thing on here. And looking up the owl, it says, to see an owl in your dream symbolizes wisdom, insight, magic, expanded awareness, and virtue. You are highly connected to your intuitive senses and psychic power. The owl is also synonymous with death, darkness, and the unconscious. The appearance of an owl may be telling you to let go of the past or certain negative behaviors. To hear the hoot of an owl in your dream denotes disappointments and death. Your unconscious mind may be trying to get your attention. To see a dead owl in your dream signifies some illness or death. Death in this sense may be a symbolic death, as in important transition in life or the end of a negative habit. Now, I didn't see the owl in my dream, in my nightmare, but I heard it.
Okay.
Out and clear through two panes of glass.
Wow. So do you think it was actually, but you know it was in your dream. You didn't actually, it wasn't really outside of your window or anything, but it really was in your dream, you think?
Oh, no, it was in my dream because I woke up in my bed.
Okay. Yeah, because, well, it's like they said that, you know, how Native Americans felt that they were messengers and bringers of information and holders of wisdom, but they did have a dark side about, because they hunt at night and they're nocturnal. So I can understand where they get that interpretation from. Do you know what your spirit guide is?
Well, a while back, I actually had the opportunity to interview Willie Windwalker Gibson.
Mm-hmm.
And being a part Native American, he did do some work on me after the interview. And he told me that my spirit guide is a Cherokee warrior, because I am part Cherokee, is a Cherokee warrior by the name of Bright Waters. And he stands on my right.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I've never seen him, and I've not truly attempted to connect with him or to speak with him, but I can say that several other people that are either sensitive or psychic have both seen and or spoken with him. And he stands staunchly at my right and puts his hand on my shoulder when I need him. That's about as much mm-hmm. as I know.
Right. I just wonder, because, you know, they can take other forms and just, I don't know, it just sounds like it's a dream that kind of makes you, I don't know, like you need to cleanse or something, cleanse yourself, or there's something you need to leave behind or that kind of thing, you think?
It's possible, because that seems to be what a lot of the things that's going on. You know, I'm in that transition period of life. It's, you know, time to pack up and get the heck out, kind of get out of Dodge kind of deal.
Mm-hmm.
It's either
let go. I think it's pretty widespread.
Yeah. I mean, there's so much that's open for interpretation.
Can you hang on 1 minute? It's Marty on my other line. Hang on.
Sure. Mike, can you still hear me?
Yes, I can.
Poor Joni. At least the guest finally did call her. So
that's
we're gonna,
good.
I guess we're just going to cover for a moment or two while we're waiting on Joni to come back with the guest, Marty Seibel from, I lost his website, daggone it. I've not met Marty, so I really don't know anything about him as of yet.
Neither do I.
Hey guys, Marty wants to call in. There's something wrong. Yeah, there's something wrong with his phone and stuff. What's the call-in number? So I could tell him.
513.
488-1244. Okay. Thank you. Be right back.
See, now this is some of the good fun stuff that you get on live radio. You just can't get away from it, because this has happened to me as well. In fact, during that 47-hour doodah, one of the guests that I had, I used up all the Skype credits that I had, and it cut him off in the middle of his interview. So it happens from time to time.
Yep.
Okay, I'm back.
Hi.
Okay, I think we're getting this straightened out. It's just been that kind of day, I'm telling you.
Did we lose you?
I'm here.
You know, I'm talking to my son now because, you know, I'm here.
Okay, so we're all together now.
I think. I'm here. Everybody raise your hand. Who's here?
I'm sure.
Mike? Chris? Okay, everybody's here. And we're waiting on Marty. Chris, I'm so glad you're on here when stuff like this happens, because if we just go, ha-ha.
Something always tends to go wrong with me, so.
You know what? This is the honest to God truth, because I know you're a Gemini, because I'm very attuned to Geminis, and they're like, my two best friends are Geminis, and blah, 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 blah. Anyway, every time me and a Gemini get together, something happens. It's usually just funny, or just something totally unbelievable, or just crazy. This is what I'm used to. That's why I like Gemini so well, because you never know what's going to happen.
I believe Marty is on the line.
That.
You got Marty, Mike?
I believe Marty is on the line.
Yes, I'm here.
Marty?
Hello, how you doing?
Hey, we're doing okay. How are you doing?
I'm doing good. I want to apologize for the phone.
Hey, like me and Chris were just saying, it's not you. It's just me and him being on here together. Chris, Ken is my co-host tonight. I don't know if you know Chris or not, but he is helping me out this evening.
Oh,
Chris,
cool.
This is Marty. Marty, this is Chris.
Hi, Marty.
Yeah, so.
Well, I want to thank you, Ken, anyway. Mike, for having me on.
Oh, we're glad to have you. Is the weather messed up down there or in the valley or what?
It is incredibly hot right now. It's midnight east. It has been like this for since Sunday. And I don't believe there is any relief in sight.
Huh.
That's because it's stuck here with me in the mountains.
Yes, Chris is up in West Virginia in the wood hood, as he puts it. And he's getting all the good stuff, all the rain and the thunder and lightning against us, I guess. So anyway.
It is very, very dry.
Wow. Yeah, I can't complain. We're doing pretty good right here, I'm telling you. Okay, well, Marty, Mr. Marty Seibel of Shenandoah Valley Paranormal, would you like to tell us all about your group and how y'all got started in this?
Well, yeah, actually, about 10 years ago, I've always had an interest in hauntings and the paranormal. About 10 years ago, I kind of started a hobby with my girlfriend, just staying at haunted bed and breakfasts, hotels, about everything you'd see on the Travel Channel, the History Channel, all these shows. Even a show, I don't know if you remember, back in the 90s called Sightings, hosted by Tim White. I'd watch all this stuff, and I'd tell my girlfriend, I'd say, you know what, we're going to go there, we're going to do that. I want to see these places. And so we've started a journey of going all up and down the East Coast, going everywhere you can name. Most recently, the Lizzie Borden House, which was a blast. And our interest kind of grew from there, and eventually we joined a paranormal group out of Richmond back in 2003. And it was kind of difficult at first because of the travel distance. We're about 2 hours from Richmond. And,
I love Richmond.
Eventually, this group folded. So I just I thought, well, why not start a group here in Stanton? And we did. Founded the Shenandoah Valley Paranormal Society in 2005. We basically started out with 5 members. I remember we used to have our meetings out on my back deck. And currently now we're up to 27 members, and we run a place. And, and the group has just taken off. It's been a blast. It really has.
Yeah, that's a lot of members. And you told me in your group, which I think is a pretty good idea, when you have that many, you have levels, actually, of what they can and can't do and what they need to learn. Is that how you do it?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, we basically have different levels of membership. And when we started the group, we not only wanted to have like a core group that would do investigations, which we do have a core of about 12 members, but we wanted to make it open for people with similar interests, a chance to get together and share your interests, just to talk. And learn, really. And basically, that's what we have. We have different levels of membership. People can proceed right up, and they can eventually come to core if they have the dedication, the interest, and go through the training and everything. And it's really worked out real well for us because it's enabled us, because we do a thing with fees and whatnot. We do different fundraisers, and it's really enabled us to start a base fund to purchase equipment, to go on trips, and, you know, we do a lot. We have fun with it.
Yeah, I know you guys do a lot. I've been at your website, and you've just been all over the place. You're at places I didn't know you were at. I'm like, what did that happen? You're just, like, every weekend. Are you, like, gone every weekend? It's like, wow.
Yeah, just a bad house.
Quite a resume.
Thank you.
Anyway, so,
We got fun. We really do. It's a blast.
Yeah, it is. And it's, you know what, it's so glad. I'm just personally glad to see somebody that's been in it as long as you have and still have that attitude, because some people don't, because I don't know, then when they don't get that attitude, they don't have that attitude, they shouldn't be doing it anymore. It's just like anything else, you know?
Right.
I don't know if they get burnt out on it, or they're not getting what they expected out of it, or what, but you guys have always kept your energy level up.
Well, we have a really good group. We get along very well. We have, I guess we'd say, just the right chemistry, really. And as far as hauntings and ghosts and history, I love it. I'm never tired of it. I could 24/7 even sleep it. And I'm always, we do a lot of residential places here in Stanton, in the valley. We do a lot of historic locations, and then I just absolutely love to travel. And a lot of the big name places you see, we target to go to. Most recently, we had a chance to go to Prospect Place. It was a blast. Absolutely loved it.
Yeah, that's one of my favorite places. What did you think of it?
I thought it was wonderful. I really did. It was just phenomenal, and we would love to go back. I would love to go back. And I remember we went back in May, and Lisa and I had actually, we were up at the very top in the cupola doing EVP. And the evening we had went up there, it was a little bit warm, and they had some showers. And as we were up there later in the evening, the fog began to roll in. And, of course, then you can hear the train in the distance. And being up there like that, and we're thinking, what better? That was a fog. I mean, it's really phenomenal. Great place. George is a wonderful person, a wonderful host.
Yeah, I got a lot of good memories from there, I'll tell you. It's just the atmosphere alone. I could just go there and just, I don't even have to go take out equipment. I'll just go walk around. You can just feel it. It's just all over the place. And
right,
generally pretty nice, pretty nice. There's not a lot of, I don't know, negative type, I don't want to say entity, but energy.
Mm-hmm.
Once
right.
in a while, you'll pick up some, but generally, they're just all as nice as they can be. All those dead people are just so nice. But, you know, it's a really cool place to be. A place that I was really, didn't know you had went to, Point Lookout, is that what I want to say, the lighthouse?
Yes, we've done that twice now.
I would love to go there. Yeah, tell me about Point Lookout.
Oh, it was really a wonderful experience from here in Stanton. It's about a 3.5-hour trip. It's right on the peninsula of the tip of, on the Maryland coast there.
Mm-hmm.
And basically, the history of the area, it was the whole peninsula there was basically a POW camp during the Civil War. So it has a lot of history. There's a lot of deaths that occurred there. Also, the history of the lighthouse that is haunted by a past innkeeper named Ann. And just the trip over there was wonderful, and it's very beautiful. You're going down, and it's, you're pretty much, you go so far, and then you're basically in your own wilderness. And you have the Potomac on one side, and you have the Chesapeake Bay on the other. And
basically,
down as far as you can go, you are pretty much surrounded by water, and there's the lighthouse. And
That'd be awesome.
Yeah, we had some interesting experiences. We come away with some pretty cool EVPs, and another good experience, and I think the lady's name's Kim Hammonds, who runs it, very nice to work with. It's a real good deal. I think it's like $50 for 5 or 6 hours, and we've done it twice now. Everybody loves to go, so we mention it. We talk about, usually at the beginning of the year, what we want to set out and do for the year, and we'll put that out there, and a lot of people jump on it right away.
Wow. That's very well organized.
I would highly recommend it if you get a chance to get out there. They do daytime tours as well as the overnight investigations. I think they run from like 9 to 3, 9 p.m. to 3 in the morning, something like that.
Mm-hmm. I'll tell you, one of the places down in, I think it's in Hampton, Fort Monroe.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. It's Hampton or Norfolk area. It's in that area. That's some place I've always wanted to go, but I guess it's closed. Did you know?
I have not really looked into it. I've heard that it's difficult. This was years ago. I heard it was difficult to get into it. Have not really looked into it. A lot of places, I guess, they just close to that. And what I've seen, a few places more and more are opening up to it, I guess, because if you do it right and you let the right kind of groups, paranormal groups come in, it can be a revenue income. Yeah, so it can be a win-win situation.
Right.
I would sort of like
So anyway, yeah, and you also do the Walking Ghost tours for Staunton, Virginia?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Yeah, I was looking at that too.
We are actually kicking it off this weekend. They have a program. We will have 2,000 bicyclists coming to Staunton.
Wow.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Wow. I need to. I hope I have enough tour guides. I'll be a tour guide.
Well, I'm not down there till Monday, so I'm probably going to be late. So, I'll wave when I go by. Hey, Marty.
Yeah, have a blast doing it. We base the tours off of a lot of Stanton's history. The city itself is over 260 years old, has a lot of Civil War history. And also, too, I don't know how many people know, but it's been known that Stantonville City, with size, has more unsolved murders than any other city in the United States. Now, the city with size. And we talk about a lot of those and some of the hauntings that go along with it. And also, we have a stop on our ghost tour where we talk a little bit about the Shenandoah Valley Paranormal Society. We display a few pieces of equipment. We also play EVPs, which people really seem to like. And for me, I really enjoy doing the tours because it's really, I enjoy talking about this. I enjoy talking about our experiences, and I enjoy hearing about other people's experiences. And, people really, there's an all-time fascination with the paranormal realm. It's just, I don't know, it's a blast. I have a blast doing it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know, you do.
I've had one of my tours.
So when you guys just went to, where were you at? You went on vacation, I know.
Yeah,
all the Outer Banks won it.
Yep, I just got
Was there anything down there that looked interesting to you?
Actually, I just pretty much stayed on the beach, just relaxed. But just prior to that, the week before, we had taken our group and we went down. We had investigated the USS North Carolina battleship. We had it an overnight. And the very next night, we proceeded to travel another 3 hours further down south and go to Charleston, South Carolina, and investigate the old city jail. And that was really the first time we had actually tried to do back-to-back investigations like that. And again, we ran into one of those weather things where the temperature was unreal. It was pushing close to 100, and the humidity, it was just very miserable. But as far as the investigation, the battleship was, it was awesome. Come away with it. Some very promising results so far. We haven't really completed everything. It's just the last 2 weeks of vacation and everything, but it looks very promising. And I would highly recommend that. I'll be posting things on the website as soon as we get through all the data and everything.
Marty, I've been going through your website here. How often do you go back to some of these places? I know, you know, given distance on some of them and sometimes price, it makes it a little bit harder. But
right.
Do you find that going back to some of the places as often as possible garners more activity or more results for you as a team?
Yeah, sometimes we do. And there's another thing that kind of plays into that. When we go to a place or a location, we look at, we kind of have the price, of course, the travel distance. Is it even an easy trip? Something that we can make, relatively easy and come back. And, how many can we take? How many members can we offer to? And one thing that we are actually doing, we are going to be investigating Fort Mifflin again this year. We're going to be doing it in October. And when we set this up back in January, I actually went on, and I want to do it and hit it in October, and I want to turn around and go back again in November. And it's my hope if we get up there in October and maybe come back in November, we may be able to hit on some things and go up in November. When we went last June, we had a couple personal experiences that I would like to try things with this time when we go up. One involved the officers' quarters down the first floor. We had a door slam shut on us twice while we were in there. Two different groups. There was no wind. The door just slammed shut. As a matter of fact, I was in one of those groups. It was me and another investigator. And the door had slammed so hard, it was stuck in the frame. I had to pull on it quite a bit to open it. And like I said, there was no breeze. What I'd like to do, and we didn't notice the first time going in, but what I'd like to do this time is to focus a lot of attention on that door. Definitely keep a camera on it all night and something. Things like that we'll try.
Now, one of the pieces of equipment that I noticed that you used that I've not seen anybody else use is the geophone.
Right.
What is that?
Well, actually, it's a little box, and it will measure and pick up vibrations. And we have a gentleman in our group who's our equipment manager named Michael Hoddle. Actually, has a website at www.casewidgets.com, and he builds these. Of course, you can get them in other places as well. And I can't remember what he sells them for, but they are very neat pieces of equipment because they will pick up on sound vibrations or vibrations on the ground. We've used them quite a bit the last, I'd say, 6 months. We used them at Prospect Place, and we actually had a situation where we were using them. We had several set up down on the first floor, I believe in the gentleman's parlor. And Lisa and I were up in the third floor, and we were actually walking around up there in the ballroom. And as we were walking around, we were triggering and setting this off, the geophone off on the first floor. We had an IR camera on the geophone, and as it was going off, first we were wondering, well, you know, what is that? And then we were able to radio upstairs and find out that it was Lisa and I causing it to go off. There have been occasions where we have displayed, we've used geophones, and they'll blink, and there's been nothing we could explain to be causing them to go off, the vibration.
Now, when you were at when you were at Prospect Place, did you guys get anything out in the barn? I have to ask specifically because the group that I was formerly in went there, and there were a couple of interesting EVPs that were came out of the barn, and that's supposedly where the bounty hunter was caught by a few of the grounds people and subsequently hung.
Mm-hmm. We did come away with a faint, what I'd call a Class C EVP. We had varying opinions on it, and I tell you, one of the, I'm not for sure if it was go away Yankee or something, but it was something pertaining to Yankee. That was pretty much it as far as anything we captured tangible, well, I would say, from the barn. The night we went to Prospect Place, too, we did spend a lot of time out there because the fog got really, really bad later in the evening.
It gets eerie out there.
Yes, it does.
It does. It gets really eerie when that happens. I don't know why that does that, but you just, like, walk through it.
Yeah, we did have a group come away with what I would classify Class C, EVP. But we did have I was telling you, a personal experience, which I wish we would have recorded, and we were unable to, on the third floor with the plastic egg. I will take trigger objects from time to time when I'm doing EVP work, and I actually brought along a plastic Easter egg, and Lisa and I were up on the third floor doing an audio session, and I placed the egg on the floor. It was closed shut. It was secure, and I was asking anyway, could come out and leave it, play with it, or open it, and continued to go through our session. We didn't have anything happen, so we packed up and went on downstairs, and another group, Michael Hall and another lady come up behind us, and a short time later, it's not even 10 or 15 minutes, they were up there and heard the egg move, looked over, and found it wide open. And, pretty neat.
Yeah, it does seem like you get a lot of personal experiences up there. Well, the whole place, but generally it is in either that one bedroom, which used to be the chapel, or the ballroom, so-called ballroom. I'm not sure if that's a ballroom, but that's what they call it. Because something happens to you, you're like, I'm sure nobody got that, because we weren't even, a lot of the time, you're not even in the process of investigating. You're just sitting there chatting or just setting up your equipment or whatever, or you're done, or you're in bed actually trying to sleep, because you can sleep there all night and stay there in the rooms, and things happen.
Yeah, but, that's pretty cool. I enjoyed that. I actually slept down in the gentleman's parlor down on the sofa down there, and one of the things with that personal experience, really, I mean, and it's still a learning process for all of us as we go through it. I really don't believe there are any experts in this field, but in this kind of situation, it's probably my fault, because I neglected to tell the group coming behind us the egg was up there. And had I done that, perhaps we could have gotten a photograph of it. I had a photograph of it when it was together and on the floor, but we didn't get it when it was, or even a camera on it. It would have been nice. But like I said, you learn as you go through it, and that's something we'll definitely remember next time.
Yeah, try to catch it next time. Did you guys get to the basement?
Yes, we did.
Okay. Somebody told me that was closed, and we were out there right for Halloween last year, and it wasn't. I didn't know if it was or not, but there is a lot of activity in the basement too. I guess we forgot to mention.
Yeah, we were in the basement.
A lot of that touchy feely stuff down there.
We kept a group of two in the basement all night. We ran 2 hour cameras down there. We monitored it pretty good all night. We went up there with a group of seven people. We had three groups of twos, and then we had one person rotate in and out of groups and monitor the monitor and the DVR system. We ran a total of four-hour cameras and moved them, positioned them around from place to place. Like he was mentioning with the geofang, we just started incorporating them probably about 6 months ago. We'd like to place them in locations and put a camera on them and just see if anything does trigger them, but it will go off. And if they do, then the first thing we try to do is explain it and see what's causing it to go off like that. And look at other enemies.
See, this is the first time I've heard of a geophone. So it kind of took me... And by the way that I'm understanding it, it's kind of a standalone seismograph?
Right. Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm.
With it being that sensitive, though, how accurate of a reading do you get? I mean, if it's able to detect the vibrations of your team members being upstairs in the cupola, and you're
on the
down
third floor. And you can adjust the sensitivity on them, but yeah, they are sensitive. And so when they do go off, you have to really look at every possible explanation as to what could be setting it off, or sounds, a vibration, anything. And we did, and one of the things with it, we're so mandatory with having somebody there to monitor the DVR system and everything, because we can actually, if we have a camera on it, they can notify, they can stamp when this is occurring right there and there, and we go through right there and try to explain what's going on, debunk it, or look at it closer. They are sensitive. Mm-hmm. You have to play around with them a little bit. I always play mine way back.
With all the places that you've gone to, what's the place that you go to the most? The reason I'm asking this is based off that very first question I asked you. Mm-hmm. It's really because of how often we go back to a place, the more responsive that mm-hmm. the activity mm-hmm. becomes there. So what's the place that you go back to the most?
For me, I will tell you, I absolutely love Gettysburg. I love Civil War history, and there's just something with myself in Gettysburg. I just can't explain it. I just love going there, and it's just an energy. We have had some fantastic experiences and data that we've captured there. Actually, it was the Cache Town Inn just outside of Gettysburg. It's the very first bed and breakfast that I stayed in. I actually come across that from seeing it on Unsolved Mysteries. So I have to take it alone as well. First time. But I've been to the Cache Town Inn now, I'd say, five times. I've been to the Farnsworth House. I don't know if you're familiar with that, right off of Baltimore Street. I've been there five times as well. And I remember when I had first met Lisa and had taken her to the Farnsworth House. This is when, maybe 8 years ago, 9 years ago. And when I met her, she was the biggest skeptic I knew. Really didn't believe in any of this. And the very first night we stayed in the Farnsworth House in the Catholic anyway, she was awakened in the middle of the night. She felt something touch her. She looked up, and standing above her was a woman in Victorian clothing. She described her as very like a sepia photograph, an old-timey photograph. And she just looked real sad, and then she disappeared. And of course, Lisa starts screaming. She's digging her nails in my arm. I wake up and I'm like, what? And we're sitting there, and you're trying to actually explain this. I'm telling her, you had a dream.
Yeah.
You had a dream. It was a dream. And she said, no, it was just as real. She touched me. She nudged my leg. I looked up, and there was this woman. So I told her, I said, well, I'll tell you what, let's go down. The next morning we go for breakfast, and we'll tell the staff, and we'll see if it relates to anything that's happened there. Anyone. And so we went down, we explained this. We described it as a midwife in that room. There was a stillborn that was lost. There was a midwife that checks on women. Sometimes sit on the end of the bed. And it's interesting because the weekend we were there, we were doing two nights, and the second night, the same thing happened again with Lisa. She felt the nudging on the leg in the middle of the night, but she would not look up the second time. did not work out. So I've kind of been hooked on the Farnsworth ever since, and really like to go there the next room over. Really gotten some good results with a little boy named Jeremy. He was actually hit by a carriage back in the 1880s. He was about 6 or 7 years old, and he died in this room. And so the first time he had checked in that room, I immediately wanted to do UVP work. And I had brought some trigger objects, some little toys and whatnot, and started asking some questions. I hadn't even unpacked my clothes. We've gotten there. I just wanted to study UVP right away. And another one of those things, like I say, you learn as you go through it. But back then, the time, I didn't think to really even analyze or go through my data while I was up there. I spent a good bit of time on the battlefield, of which that weekend I got absolutely nothing. Anyways, got home after that weekend. I go back in the quiet room, put my headphones on. I'm going through this audio, and I asked Jeremy, do you like us being here? And you hear him plain as day say, uh-huh. You hear a tap, and he says, I'm bored. And I'm like, wow, that's just... very good EVP, and it was probably my first good EVP I got.
Wow.
But I have been hooked on the place ever since. Now they do, the last year, they do offer paranormal investigations to groups, but I'm kind of leery of it because one of the things with it, to go in and do a really controlled investigation with it would be very difficult, being the location of the house, with the traffic. They have ghost tours up and down through there all hours of the night. I just think it would be very difficult to do and probably a waste of money for what they would charge. So those are some of the things I look at when we book some of these places. Is it going to be easy to do? Going to be a worthwhile trip and investigation? Some places I feel charge a ridiculous price. Give you an example, Eastern State Penitentiary. The last time I checked, I believe it was $25 an hour per person. Which if you do an AM, you're looking at a few $100.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I don't mind paying a little bit if I know it's restoration, but man, that's a little much.
Yeah, now they may have changed it. That's been about a year and a half ago since I looked at it. But because we've had people in our group, they're like, oh, wow, I would like to do that. And, well, you know, I'll look into it. And so I'll come back. And it's, like I said, if you do an 8 hours, you're looking at $200. And I think that's robbery.
Yeah, that's a lot of money, especially right now. So when you guys did Moundsville, did you have to go in? Did you get it to yourself, or did you have to go in one of those group things?
Well, the first time I've been there three times, and the first time I went, Lisa and another couple went, and we went on one of those group things. I thought, no way, never again, because we had like 60-some people in there.
Yeah, okay.
Can't do anything like that. So the next time I knew to schedule it, I wanted to do it a private, I said, look, I want to bring just my group and only my group. Even if it means doing an off night, I'm adamant about, I want it for just our group. And I don't mean to be hard about it, but you travel that far, you put everything into it, and of course you want to do a controlled investigation.
I agree.
We were able to get it all ourselves the last two times. And I was the same way, too, when we went to Waverly. We did Waverly 3 years ago. And for us, that was an 8-hour trip out there. So, I could go that far and pay that kind of money. I certainly wanted to make sure, we had it available to our group. Again, even if it meant doing an off night. And we will occasionally, well, more than occasionally, we will do off nights, like Sunday nights. Make it a little bit easier.
We like Thursdays, if they'll let us. Well, will Moundsville let you do it on an off night?
Let's see. We have not had to do it with Moundsville on an off night. Luckily, we have been able to do it on a Saturday night both times. But Fort Mifflin, we've done it on a Sunday night. Waverly, we did on a Sunday night. Like I said, another thing, we plan them well in advance. We look at the schedule early January, kind of let everybody know in the group so, you can make the proper arrangements with work or, any financial arrangements. I give everybody as much notice as possible. I give them a chance to want to, to go.
Yeah, I know when we ever try to plan to go somewhere, we have to start like 3 months ahead of time because of financial situations, because of work and because of babysitters and such things.
Oh, sure, yeah.
And it's really, then what does go wrong? Once you've got it all together, you're going, you don't want anything to go wrong. So, you do have to be kind of picky and try to get it your way. Somewhat.
Yes, you do. And, we carpool together. We'll park together, room together. We do anything we can to save money. I mean, you run for that fund as well. You can help out with expenses, travel expenses and whatnot, even pay a portion of you know, for the ticket. Yeah, so mm-hmm. It works out pretty good.
You've been to Mansfield?
I have not, but I will tell you, it is on the to-do list, and I had it marked down for 2011.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I guess that's what they're talking about in the chat room. It's kind of high, too, anymore. They're really charging a lot, I tell you.
Oh, really? I would do it this year. We have really taken on a lot this year, and then after a while, finances and time kind of run dry.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what happens. Oh, good Lord. Well, anyway, plug whatever you need to plug or whatever you want to plug, your website, your tours, whatever you want to do there.
Well, thank you. Our website is www.valleyghosthunters.com. Our ghost tours are www.ghostofstanton.com. And our tours are Saturday nights, 8 p.m. in July and August, and then we expand as we get into the fall. We'll be doing them Fridays and Saturdays, and then when we get to October, we'll be doing them Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. And the tours last about an hour and 45 minutes to 2 hours. So if you're in Stanton, please stop by and see us. We would love to. If you want a tour, we would love to share or talk anything paranormal with you.
I know. We just could pass there, and I'm just like, I need to take a couple of the group members and just do like a ghost hunter tour or something, because the kids are like, I don't want to stop there, and I'm with the water, and where are you? Because I'm like, I want to stop there, and then you pass them all the way down, then you pass them all the way back, and there's this little cemetery just out before you hit Virginia, and when you're going in, it's on the left side of the road. It's got a little church there, and I have looked at that place every time we go past there, which has been a lot of times, and something wants me to stop at that cemetery. And I swear to God, when the kids go stop at that cemetery, and then all the battlefields you go past, and you know, like where you are, beautiful, beautiful Shenandoah Valley. It's just breathtaking. And people that don't know much about West Virginia, it'd be worth your time to go there because it's absolutely gorgeous. And just so many things. But there is, okay, in Richmond, you know, when you're coming back on 95. Right there, as you get into Richmond, there's a really old cemetery that sits off to the right.
Mm-hmm.
If you get off the exit right there, this old cemetery is right there, and we found it accidentally. And that's another place I want to go, and I just wondered if you had any idea what the name of it was. It is old and big.
Not off, right off the top of my hand. I would be interested in looking it up.
I'm going to try and Google it, because we got off there accidentally, and I'm like, of course, I'm like, can we just stop here for like 10 minutes? They're like, yeah, everybody go, you know. So I would love to know what the name of that cemetery is and put it on my list because it just looks ancient.
Well,
and it's got to be.
I will look into that. Actually, to tell you the truth, I got another one of my little trips planned. Lisa and I are doing, I'm going down there for my birthday. I want to spend some time in mm-hmm. Richmond and tour some of the battlefields because I've not been down to there yet to really do any of the battlefields. And one of the things I had been working on and setting up we've actually got the go-ahead. It's just a matter of getting the time and date is to investigate the Edgar Allan Poe Museum in Richmond. Now, other than it's just a house that they use as a museum for a lot of his work right now. But the house itself is a stone house. It's about 300 years old, and they've had several instances of children in the yard throughout the house. It has a lot of being haunted. It looks, it's a go. It's just a matter of when.
Wow, I didn't even know about that.
Yeah, they're open to letting groups come in. If you want to put it on your list someday and check it off.
Yeah, my list is getting really, really long. Oh, well. Okay, well, Maury, I want to thank you so much for coming on. And like
hey,
I said earlier, I don't know how I did not even think of you sooner because God, we've known each other forever, it seems. And telling us about my wonderful I Love Virginia period. So I do really appreciate you coming on and telling us and giving us all your information, and I encourage people to go check out this area he's from, and there's just so much history, and it's just beautiful, and I love it.
Yeah, it's a wonderful place, and I want to thank you, Chris and Mike, for having me on. I really appreciate it. I really enjoyed talking with you guys.
No, that's not a problem. We're glad you could make it. We're glad you made it. I'm like, oh, my God, where is he? But
I apologize.
I didn't know if the weather had gone bad or what. Oh, it just weather. Like I said, it's kind of been that kind of day, so not a biggie. So anyway, well, you enjoy your 4th of July, and like I said, we'll be going past there next week, and I'll just wave. You watch for me.
take care and have a good vacation.
Oh, I will. We'll be fine. We always do. I just love it there, so.
You have good weather.
Yeah, I think it'll be okay. We'll get through it, so. We will talk to you very soon, and like I say, have a nice holiday.
Okay. Good night.
Okay, good night.
Now, he was a good guest, Joni.
I know. That's why I'm like, and I've known him a really long time, and I thought, oh my God, Marty, isn't it funny the ones that you know the best you don't think about when it comes to doing a show? Isn't that stupid?
They always come at you like, well, why didn't you ask me before? You've been on for like 12 years now. Because
mm-hmm.
I forgot about it.
Because it it's feel weird. I don't know. I'm glad we got him on, though. And yeah, he's got a lot of information. He does a really good job. He's very, very dedicated and does good work. And, you know, that's another thing. I like those type of people that do all this and keep on plugging along and never get any recognition, really. But they don't care because they're doing what they want to do.
I tend to more think that way as well. I like people that go out and just do it instead of going out and doing it to make a name.
Exactly, because that's just... It's just going to ruin everything before it's over.
It will.
Because I hate even, sometimes I get on MySpace, but Facebook, and I'm like, oh God, who is fighting today? Oh my God. And, you know, like one person today, I did read a blog, and she is right. I understand that she's right in a way, because I try to ignore it. But then she's like, well, how do you ignore it when innocent people may be affected by it? You know, when it comes to, like, investigations and false investigations and people planting evidence or whatever they're doing. I don't know what they're doing. And I'm like, yeah, you've got a point, but does it help those few people if we just keep it going, if we keep feeding off of it and, you know.
Yeah, I mean, all we're really doing at that point is giving them a name, whether it's good or bad.
It's giving negative attention, which, you know, one of the tenets of psychology, negative attention is better than new attention. And that's basically what I'm seeing that it boils down to. So I prefer to ignore it.
Same here.
Mm-hmm. But anyway, on a lighter note, we'd like to thank all you guys for listening, and we'd like to thank Marty again. He's such a cool guy and has a wonderful group. And Chris, thank you 1,000,010 times for helping me out tonight. And we will have to do this more often.
Oh, definitely. And I apologize if you can hear the siren going off in the background for some reason. Somebody's about to get pulled over.
No, I don't hear a thing. What I have here usually is these big, loud, a lot of people like Harleys around here, and they seem to like to go up my street here 100 miles an hour for some reason. So we get the Harley noise and or the loud trucks, because there's a lot of those big old four-wheel drive motor trucks in the area. That's usually my noise pollution. So anyway. Okay, well, thanks, everybody, for listening. Hope you have a wonderful holiday weekend. I sure am going to, because I'm going to be in the water next week, and I cannot wait, because we just needed to take a break. Chris, I'm sorry. I wish we could take you with us.
I know. I'm like, on the way, you're going to be driving down 79. I could, like, meet you somewhere.
Well, okay, Google me a little map site there, and I'll make sure we stop and go to the bathroom there, and then, you know what, we don't carry the luggage on top, and I can strap you down, and nobody will know anything about it.
Hey, I can just strap on some antlers.
I don't know where it came from.
I can strap out some antlers, you know, you can come back with a 10-point buck.
There you go. Oh, my God, that's funny. Oh, God, okay, guys, well, we will see you in a couple weeks, I guess, hopefully. And everybody have a great weekend, and thanks for listening. Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to EVP Spirit Talk. Visit your hosts, Joni and Mike, at www.EgyptValleyParanormalInvestigations.com And be sure to come back every Thursday night at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for EVP Spirit Talk on the All Souls Paranormal Radio Network.